Amen, indeed. That was such a blessing. Thank you, folks, for leading us in worship. King's kids, if you were in second grade on down, go ahead and come up to the front real quick. Before you leave, go ahead and come up front. We're gonna pray for you real quick. Come up front, right over here, right over here. You can stand as far away or as close as possible, whatever you want. Would you join me as we pray for these little precious souls? Lord, we pray for each one of these precious children whom you love far greater than we ever could. Lord, we pray that through the years of teaching that they have been listening to, sitting under, that, Lord, you would continue to water those seeds, that would then lead them to a relationship with you. Lord, for all of our children, the ones that are sitting here in front of me, the ones that are in our congregation, the ones that may not even be here, Lord, first remind us that you love our children far more, far better than we ever could. And Lord, we give them to you, asking that you would save them, keep them, guard them. Help them to love you as they ought. Lord, we pray for their teachers this morning as they go off to King's Kids, that you would speak through them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all are dismissed. Bye. Goodbye. Well, for those of you that this is your first time joining us, don't worry. I am not the normal preacher, so there's only 1 week of this, and then you get the regular preacher. Craig will be back next week. So what I'm saying is, give us another shot next week. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, would you join me? Go to the Lord in his word, would you join me in prayer? Father, once again, you have brought us here together. And once again, we come to your word. And once again, you have kept a sinner like me in the position to have the opportunity to be a herald of your word. Lord, you know how broken I am. You know my heart. You know my mind. You know my tendencies. You know every single thing about me. So God, you know that whatever good comes from this is by your grace and your grace alone. So Lord, hide me, this broken vessel, under your word, so that we together can love Jesus. So that we can see Jesus, so that we can hear Jesus, so that we can be encouraged. So, Lord, do what you promised us that you will do. That is, when your word is proclaimed, you speak. Do this, we pray, by your Spirit, and it's in Christ's name. Amen. Do you feel as if the monotony of life is going to slowly dull you to the grace of God, to the point where you leave his love? Is your life so busy that you feel like you've neglected your relationship with Jesus, such to the point where you won't be welcomed and embraced by the Father? Has sin been so intrusive in your life that even the darkness seems that it's light? Have you been so gripped by the message of the culture around us that you wonder how the gospel of Jesus Christ can be compatible with the world that we live in. Are you one argument away with a spouse from leaving your spouse, from leaving your family, and leaving your God? Are you at the point in life where family members have given you so much grief that you can't respond in grace and mercy anymore? Is your relationship with drugs or sex or alcohol so perverted that you know that there is no way for you to be received in the kingdom of heaven? For the older folks with us, for all of us even, when you reflect on your life, are you fearful for the words that you're going to hear when you cross from this life into eternity? Well, whatever situation, whatever circumstance that you are in this morning, whichever one of those questions struck home with you, maybe it's not even mentioned, but you know that there is that question that I could have asked, and it's just been on the forefront of your mind and in your heart for days, weeks, months, even years. Whatever the circumstance you are in, the passage that we are going to be studying this morning is a word for you. So if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, that is, if you're not familiar with the Bible, turn to Revelation, the very back of your Bible, and then it's just one little tiny page right before Revelation. And as you're turning there, we have been working through the book of Jude for the past 3 weeks. This is the fourth week now, and this is going to be the concluding sermon in the series of Kept for Faithfulness, as we have been evaluating, studying the book of Jude. And as we began the study in the book of Jude, we read through the entirety of the book. And as we conclude, I want to do that just one more time with fresh eyes, now that we have been through the book of Jude. So we're going to be focusing on verses 24 and 25. But just because of the uniqueness of the shortness of this letter, let's just read it together one more time. So starting in verse 1, God says this: Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of that great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, they serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, they defile the flesh, reject authority, and they blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people, they blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed, but all that they, like unreasoning animals, they understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and they perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts as they feast with you without fear. They are shepherds feeding themselves. They are waterless clouds swept along by the winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. They are wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. And it is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt, and save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." So what I want to do now is go back to last week's passage, the last half of that, in verses 20 and 23. Get the context for our passage this morning of verses 24 and 25. And then we will dig into those verses. So verses 20 and 23, let's read that one more time. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen." So if you are joining us for the first time this week, there has been a constant tension that we have seen in the book of Jude. We found it first in verse 1, whenever Jude says that these Christians, they are beloved by God the Father, and they are kept for Jesus Christ. And then last week we saw the other side of that tension. You are kept for Jesus Christ, and then you are to keep yourself in the love of God. Verse 21. I want you all to think about that phrase. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Consider that phrase. For the burdened Christian and for the flourishing Christian alike, keeping yourself in the love of God. That seems about as easy as literally counting the stars of the universe. The command to keep yourself in the love of God sounds about as attainable as containing the waters of the ocean in a kiddie pool. The command to keep yourself in the love of God for the burdened Christian and for the flourishing Christian alike, it seems about as possible as bringing a dead heart back to life. Yet, we look at verse 21. What do we do with that? Burdened Christian, Christian who has doubts, Christian who is struggling with your faith, Christian who is at an all-time high in your faith. Verse 21 is for you. And it says, keep yourself in the love of God. Something that is so magnificent, so radiant. It's like trying to catch lightning in a jar. Yet this is something that we are told to do. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. And then what does he say after that? He says, waiting on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we saw the three ways that Jude said to keep yourself in the love of God. That is by building yourself up in your most holy faith and then praying in the Holy Spirit. We're not going to dive into those two this morning. We're going to focus on that third one and some implications. Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is to everybody. This is to the burdened Christian. This is to the flourishing Christian. Part of keeping yourself in the love of God is expectantly and joyfully waiting for that day when we will be shown mercy once and for all. And then he goes in and he explains three other types of people. Jude loves threes. He just really wants to get his point across by using triplets. And he says in verse 22, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh. Those three types of people, to those who doubt, is this you this morning? Have you been a Christian for so long and you've just kind of grown dull to the Christian faith where you just start to wonder if you can get through this life on your own? Or maybe you just wonder, I haven't felt like I once felt whenever God first saved me. I wonder. Friend, if that is you, it is our job as Christians, and then even as ministers, as pastors, it is our job to show you mercy. If you are doubting, come to us. Let us serve you. Let us come alongside you and build you up. Then the next that Jude says in verse 22, he says, those save others by snatching them out of the fire. These are people who are being burned. These are people who maybe in our congregation, you see them living and dabbling with, toying with sin, a life that you know if they continue living that, they're no longer going to be in the love of God. And this language is much more gripping than have mercy to those who doubt. What Jude says is save them by snatching them out of the fire. Christian, if you see this in another person, Satan would love nothing more than for you to look at that person in their sin and say to yourself, well, that's not my problem. That's their personal business. They'll figure it out. Who am I to judge? It would be rude for me to say something. That is not how the New Testament describes the Christian life. That is not how God has given us the church. Passages like this fly in the face of that Americanized understanding of living. It is your job to be up in their business. It is your job to call out sin. Relationships are going to be hurt when you do that. But at what cost? You are snatching them out of the fire. And then lastly, we see those who are stained by the flesh. Those who are stained by the flesh. Are you here this morning and you know that you are unclean? Are you here this morning and you say to yourself, I know my heart and I know the way that I live. I am so unclean. I cannot be loved. You don't know how gross I really am. God could never love me. Friend, this promise is for you. The promise of verses 24 and 25 are for you. Because whichever category you fall in from above, there is encouragement. There is a promise embedded in this passage. Because notice the tone that Jude shifts from. He says, show mercy to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And to others, show mercy, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And then he switches to the tone of our passage this morning. And he says, now to him who is able to keep you. To keep you. Because Jude understands that to his hearers, to the people who received this word, they would say, what if that's going to be me? What if I am going to be the one who needs to show mercy because I doubt? What if I'm going to be the one who's going to need snatching out of the fire? What if I am the one stained? A filthy rag. What if that is me? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. That is what God promises to you, friend. Which category do you fall in? What is it? Where do you struggle? Where do you doubt? Because God is able. God is able. So what I want to do as we move forward, in your bulletin, I was convinced in my preparation this week that it's just flipped. So we're just going to flip things around a little bit. And I'm not doing anything fancy. This is going to be something, I can't believe we pay this guy to do this. The first point, God is able to keep you. God is able to keep you from stumbling. And if you've been joining us for any time, then you'll remember from verse 3, these people that we have called the creeps, people who creep in, they have crept in unnoticed, who have perverted the grace of our God into sensuality, and who deny Jesus Christ. That is who Jude is writing to, who he is writing about. He's saying, hey, God is able to keep you from falling into the trap of that lie that those creeps are giving you. But friend, as God is able to keep you from heresy, as God is able to protect you, protect your mind, protect your heart from false teaching, please hear me. God is able to keep you from stumbling. God is able to keep you from sin. If you were here a few weeks ago, whenever we first started the study in Jude, then you'll remember the cute little story I shared about my sons, specifically Cooper. He's 2 years old. And every time that, for those of you that weren't here, I'll share it briefly. Every time that I go outside to fire up the grill, Cooper always cons his way into coming outside. He'll say, I want to go play. I want to go play on my bike. I want to go play, and he'll come up with any excuse just so that he can be outside. And I love it. It's really sweet, but I know what he's doing because he sees a big, huge flame. He sees the fire of the grill going, and he's not wanting to play with his toys. He's not wanting to play in the water. He sees something that is shiny. He sees something that is happening, and so he wants to go outside with Dad and hang out by the grill. Every time I grill, this happens. And every single time I grill, I pull Cooper in, I get down on his level, I say, Cooper, do not touch that. Do not touch that fire. That is hot. That will hurt you. And then Cooper, he'll do, hot, hurt you, hot. And he's just so cute. I'm trying to be like so serious, and he always makes me crack a smile. The way that Cooper keeps himself from being burned is by listening to what his father has said. So Cooper has a responsibility to obey his dad. If he obeys his dad, he will not get burnt. And we said a few weeks ago, in a similar way, if we listen to God and obey what he has told us to do, we will not fall away. However, I can tell you right now, there is no way I'm letting my son touch that fire. There is no way that I'm going to take my eyes off of him and let him get to the point where he gets so close that he burns himself and he eventually pulls it down and kills himself. There is no way I am letting that happen. What our passage is saying to us this morning is that in a similar way that I protect my son from being burned, so too our God keeps us from stumbling. However, this promise is not that Christians will be without sin. I cannot sit here and tell you that Cooper will never get hurt, and the scar on his forehead will tell you. It'll prove that. Cooper's going to get hurt. The promise isn't that you will be without sin. The promise is that he will keep you from falling away from the faith. He will keep you so that you can be once for all presented to Jesus. And there's an important distinction, because we're still left with verse 21, whenever he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So the promise that God will keep us from falling away, it does not cancel out our responsibility from verse 21. However, we obey God because he will strengthen us to do so. It is God himself who gives us the grace so that we even desire to keep ourselves in God's love. And what is the result of God keeping us from stumbling? Our next point. God is able to present you blameless. God is able to present you blameless. In verse 24. In the language that Jude chose to use here is, as you would imagine, it's not arbitrary, it's not without reason, it's very intentional. Because as we said earlier in verse 23, notice what he says. He says, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. The word here in 24, blameless, it could also be translated without spot, without blemish. So if we're listening to our Bibles carefully, then we hear he's able to hate those whose garments are stained by the flesh. He's able to present you without blemish. So we hear stain, we hear blemish, and this is sacrificial system language. Jude is using language that these Jewish people, they would instantly know and hear. And when the Old Testament, when used in the Old Testament in the time of the sacrificial system, the goat or the dove or the lamb or the calf or whatever the animal being sacrificed, it would be without spot, without blemish, meaning it would be the cleanest. It would be the best animal of the herd that you could present. This was not a stained animal. This was not a tainted animal with a gimp leg, for instance. And when this phrase is used in the New Testament, it's often used when referring to the day of judgment. And so too it is here. We are waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That day is in view. And then he says, now to him who is able to present you blameless. He is able to present you blameless. God is able to present you. You. Everything about you. Every single thing of your life. Everything about your person. God is able to present you without spot. He is able to receive you into his presence completely clean. Dave Ramsey has a funny little phrase when he talks about people's debt. And if you've gone through Financial Peace, you already know what I'm talking about. He says that people often treat their financial debt like a child with a poopy diaper. He says, you're not taking it from me. And he, like, you know, powers his glasses down. You're not taking it from me because it's mine and it's warm. And that's exactly how we often treat our sin. We are stained. That is what this word, the picture that it carries. We are stained with excrement. And we so often, we don't want to hold on to our sin. We don't necessarily want to, but shame creeps in and pride creeps in and believing lies creeps in. Maybe you're holding on to your sin this morning because, unlike anybody else in this room, you know how disgusting your sin is. You feel it in your bones, and you feel resistant to go to Jesus. Oh, friend, that is not the God of the Bible. That is not the God that we serve. The consistent and clear testimony of the Bible is that when Jesus Christ would see the fallenness of the world, his deepest impulse, the most natural instinct of Jesus Christ, is to run to that sinner and not away from him. One author says that Jesus Christ gets more joy and comfort than we do when we come to him for mercy in our time of need. When you come to Jesus for mercy and for love and for help in your anguish and your perplexity and your sinfulness, please hear me. You are going with the flow of Christ's own deepest desires. You are not working against it. Or to put this the other way around, when we hold back, lurking in the shadows, fearful and failing, we're missing out not only on our joy and our increased comfort, but we're missing out on God's increased comfort and joy. Sinner, this is what he lives for. This is what Jesus loves to do. Receiving the broken, that is Jesus Christ. Whenever his joy rises, so does ours. Which leads us to our therefore statement this morning. At the end of verse 24 and 25, you are kept in the love of God for God's joy, so that he will receive glory. You are kept in God's love so that For you are kept in the love of God for God's joy so that he will receive glory. As we read this morning in our service, consider Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says that Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, and he despising the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is to say to you, Christian sinner, the joy that fills Jesus is the joy that he sees when his people come to them in their most broken moments of sinfulness and doubt. However, there's one thing that we need to point out that is in our text this morning. As it is true that God receives joy, and as it is true that God receives glory when we come to him and we hold on to these promises, the Bible is clear. He does not need us for his joy. He does not need us for his glory. He is joyful in and of himself. He is love in and of himself. He is glorious without even giving us a thought. But his joy, his love, his mercy, his goodness, his glory is so intensely magnified when sinners like you and sinners like me come to him for rest. When sinners like you and sinners like me come to him for forgiveness, praise Jesus that he loves you, that he cannot contain his love in and of himself. He has to show it with others to show you how glorious he is, how beautiful he really is. One old pastor puts it like this. The glorious excellencies and beauty of God will be what will forever entertain the minds of the saints. And the love of God will be their everlasting feast. The redeemed will indeed enjoy other things. They will enjoy the angels. They will enjoy one another. But that which they shall enjoy in the angels, that which they shall enjoy in each other, or in anything else whatsoever that will give them delight, that will give them happiness, it will be what shall be seen of God in them. One song puts it like this, as an invitation to you and an invitation to me this morning. It says, "Oh, come, bitter and broken, come. Come with fears unspoken. Come, taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, you guilty and hiding ones. There is no need to run. See what your God has done." Christian, the only God, the only God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the one who's going to receive, who does receive glory, majesty, dominion, and authority from now and all time and forever, that is the God who can keep you from stumbling. That is the God who promises for those who are his, he will present you blameless, clean. You get to share in the glory of God. Broken vessels like us, so for the person here this morning, maybe this is news to you. Maybe you have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've never heard of God's love. Or maybe God is stirring in your heart something that you know you should have done for so long, but you have been running because of your sin. Either because you love it, you love your sin so much, or because you're so ashamed and you think that God is not able. God is able to receive the worst of sinners. Do not believe the lie that there is no redeeming you, friend. Do not believe the lie that your sin is better than the love of God. Do not believe the lie that you can turn grace into sensuality, continuing in sin, thinking that I'll be good. No, friend, let today be the day of salvation for you. This promise is for you this morning. If only you will believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that he is ascended in heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he is pleading on your behalf saying, God, forgive them. Take me instead. Take my perfect blood that was spilled for him, that was spilled for her. Friend, let today be the day of salvation for you. Let's pray. If that was you this morning, knowing that you cannot run from his grace any longer, please come find me after the service. Please grab somebody next to you who invited you. And tell them what God is doing in your heart. That God is drawing you closer to Him for a relationship for the first time. And Lord, that is all of our prayer. That we would be reminded of when you first saved us. When the gospel that we have clung to for maybe weeks, months, years, decades, that gospel that is unchanging, Lord, we ask by your mercy that you would be so kind in stirring our hearts, stirring our affections to love the gospel afresh once again. God, we cling to you and your promise when you tell us that you will keep us from stumbling and that you will present us clean without being tainted by sin. Lord, we long for that day. But until then, keep us in your love. Keep us in your love as we remember that this fight that we fight, though we have great responsibility, Lord, the battle is won. And there is rest in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, it is in that breath, it is in that truth that we now sing. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand as we respond in song?
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. As I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet. I sink through the night. God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Oh, so when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. Amen. God bless you.
That will be joining us for the membership class. Go ahead and go grab your lunch, bring it back here, and we will eat together. Now, by way of benediction from Jude 24 and 25, this is a promise to you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You all are dismissed.